nobody can do it better than you. So if this is a priority for you, and health should be a priority for everybody, because without our health, you know, we can't enjoy our life. And it's about quality of life, and quality of life comes from health. So really learning you, really tune in to how your body's working. And that's going to send you more information than anything else. And so really being intuitive about you and your cues and what makes you tick is probably one of the best ways to then guide your choices in terms of food.
Hey everyone, I'm Jessie Johnstone.
And I'm Marae Froese. We are two curious people always talking to each other about ways to improve our health, keep our relationships strong, be better parents, and keep ourselves feeling confident.
If we aren't talking about the latest and greatest beauty procedure or how to handle a situation with our kids, we're messaging back and forth about the latest current event.
To help us work through all the noise and ensure we are becoming our best, most informed selves, we discuss a new topic with an industry expert every week on the podcast.
Every topic is on the table. There is no TMI in this space. Hi, Marae.
Hi.
How are you?
I feel like we're both like running with our heads cut off today.
Well, we literally just both showed up at the studio. Haven't spoken, had different ideas.
We're like, let's just turn it on and talk.
Yeah, let's just go for it.
Okay, so you already know this, but our audience doesn't know this. I can say this now. So me and some friends are planning a surprise birthday for one of my best friends for tomorrow night.
And you were just setting
up. For her 40th birthday. Yeah, we're just setting up and she has no idea it's happening. And the funny thing about it is I dragged Carlene, who is our guest for this episode, into it. And so I got Carlene to text Rochelle, myself, and another friend, Carmen, inviting us over for dinner to try her new pasta sauce that's coming out soon, and saying that it's, she's going to cook dinner for us. It's going to be like a media thing where she's going to have a photographer taking professional photos, and it's a whole thing. Carlene can't even come tomorrow night. And I've been so annoying because she can't come anymore, and I keep texting her like I'll like send her a text and be like, can you just send the group this text where it's like dress code or like can't wait to see you, or just trying to make it super believable. Because even Rochelle was like, I'm really surprised that Carlene's doing this for media and hasn't even asked us what to wear. I'm like, damn it. So then I'll text Carlene. I'm like, can you include this in the text? Anyway, so a lot going on to make tomorrow happen with like 70 people.
Yeah, that's exciting.
How's your week going?
Well, fine. I just flew in the door because Christian's at the dentist down the road. So I have a little bit of time for us to record the intro. Yeah, it's a busy, crazy week. There's lots of balls in the air. My thing that's like causing me the most stress is I have a party on Saturday night.
You have no idea what to wear.
I found something today. But honestly, like, why does it look like all I do is pound beer and bread? It's so frustrating. I hate trying on clothes.
Oh, because you don't look like that.
I do look like
no,
that.
No, you do not.
Anyways, it's so annoying going and trying on clothes. And it's a country theme. And I'm very excited about the party. It's going to be really fun. And it's for a 40th birthday that's, of course, been postponed. And it's downtown. It's going to be great. But it's a country theme. So I don't have like...
Both of ours are country themed. And like I said, you just need a dress and some boots. Or like a hat.
My friends didn't like my boots. So then the... They're like, not those boots. I'm like, those are the boots I have and they're comfortable. But anyway, so yeah, I've just been around trying to figure that out and find something that I feel like good in. So I think I did find something today. So that's good. I'm trying to piece it together and not spend like a fortune.
Honestly, I think what it is when you figure out how to dress for your body and like what looks good and what doesn't, it makes shopping so much easier, especially now because everything is designed for these girls who have like no boobs, no butt. No. Cleavage, crop top, like it's just, it can be really discouraging if you haven't figured that out and you just are like trying things on.
Well, I think it was till my late 30s where I didn't get like, stop looking at that outfit. Look at that model's body. It's not like yours at all. That is not going to look like that on you. I'd order stuff. It'd come. I'd be like, okay. But I also used to be able to order things very easily. My body was totally different. I mean, I carry 20 extra pounds basically. And you know, in 2019, I did that like diet and I lost 19 pounds and I felt really good. And then COVID happened. And I sat on the couch and I had a cocktail every day and ate a bag of salt and vinegar chips and I put it all back on. And it was such a like strict diet that I have this like battle going on in my head all the time. It's like, okay, I'm working out at 5 a.m. because that's the only time I had time. I'm not a early morning person. So literally every time somebody's like, how are you? I'm like, yeah, I've been getting up at 5 a.m. because I want like a big pat on my back about it because I'm so proud of myself.
Well, you should be proud of yourself. That takes a lot of discipline.
But that's not cutting it. It has to be the diet. But I'm like, do I want to do this restricted diet again? Or do I want to just exercise and eat healthy and then, you know, accept my body? It's
okay,
just this
constant
challenge.
Okay, I'll tell you what. And some of you may know this, some of you may not. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know this, that I'm like a health coach and I do coaching and whatever. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I have like this 12-week transformation program that I put clients on. It's online coaching. And the whole premise of it is about not having restrictive eating, having a balanced program where you're like slowly making changes over the 12 weeks. And I'm not joking. Every single person that does it transforms their
body. We've
seen
the pictures. They're so good.
And I honestly post like 5% of the pictures because most people don't want there to be public about it.
I have to say too, in terms of restrictive diet, because I hate diet culture and all that stuff, it's about being healthy. And I was never hungry. I actually never ate all the food that was part of the diet. I never actually finished eating everything I was allowed to eat. And I felt way better because I didn't have inflammation. Like, that's why I'm saying I look like I eat bread and drink beer all days, because I'm so puffy from inflammation.
But it's the mental aspect of it, because I know you were eating, but it's the mental aspect of when you feel like you have to follow a specific
yes.
diet and everything you eat is so calculated yes. so that anytime you go outside of those parameters of what you're supposed to eat, you feel guilty. I remember when I used to do the same, I would just be eating like more sweet potato or more cauliflower. I'm like, shoot, I shouldn't be eating that. I'm cheating. And it was that mentality. And then I felt like should it be punished and punished by like doing more cardio or working out more for doing that. But back to inflammation, and you also know this, I had a lymphatic drainage massage
yes.
for my face this week. I don't know if you can tell.
No, I can't tell.
Can you
actually? I went to book, but I had had filler, so I couldn't book it.
I had it on my face and I'm addicted. But the thing is, it's not like it's going to change my face forever. But if you have like an event or a party or a photo shoot or whatever, I'll do it that week. Like, I'll do this the week of my shower again.
I had filler within the 2 weeks, so I couldn't
But you
do
should
it.
Do it when you can.
Because even the allergies, my face is just
oh,
so
yeah.
blown
and
up.
And it just
it's
feels
brutal.
Good too. But back to nutrition, today we have a really exciting guest on our podcast, Carlene Karst, who is a really close friend of mine. I just love her so much. I love her because what you see is what you get. Like, she's just such a real person. She's so beautiful inside and out, so giving of her time and her energy. And she's an amazing mom, cook, has a cookbook, The Kitchen is for Dancing, amazing wife, and is just really relatable.
Very relatable. That's what I found about her. I had seen her Instagram, but I've never met her in person. That was the first time I'd ever talked to her. And she's such a beautiful person. You know, her Instagram is so beautiful, but she's just completely relatable, so kind, loved her perspective on things.
And I think I know that she would disagree with me if I say like she figured it out, because I know you're always still figuring it out. But I find her to be really inspiring because she's found such a beautiful balance in life, which even though there's still chaos, right? She has 3 kids. It's a busy life. She has multiple businesses, a busy husband, but she's somehow found this balance of like fitting in movement to her day and cooking really fresh, delicious meals for her family on a regular basis. And, you know, being a really healthy person, but still I go out with her quite often and we still have wine and French fries. And so just finding a person that has kind of cracked the code and what it looks like to have balance, which isn't really even a code. We've just been so messed up and distorted in our way of thinking about nutrition and exercise. She really simplifies it in this podcast.
I agree. Another one where there's just great practical advice.
Yeah.
Love the conversation.
I just love her.
Yeah. It's great conversation.
But anyway, I hope you all enjoy this episode. It's a really good one. My takeaway from this episode was I was really inspired to be more of a planner when it came to my meals. Did you find that for yourself too? And for my family's meals, like, actually having a game plan on like how I'm going to feed my family, what it looks like for the week, so I'm not super stressed and running around.
Also, her recommendation on what vitamins to take, which I'm not going to say because I want people to listen to the podcast, because people keep wanting me to give them the key points of the podcast
of without
listening, and that is just not okay.
No, we need those downloads.
Yeah, exactly. We need the downloads, people. Okay, so enjoy this and let us know what you think.
Good morning, Carlene. How are you?
Morning. Living the dream.
This is so awesome because Carlene's one of my really good friends. And so I'm so happy that we can have you on the Tell Me More podcast this morning talking about Tell Me More about healthy eating. Carlene and I met, was it like 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's so funny. So we were both invited to speak on a panel. It was at a home show. And we went and I like prepared for it thinking, okay, it's at a home show. We're on a panel. That sounds like legit. And the only people that were in the audience were my husband, Dallas, his parents, and my brothers.
Oh, true.
And there was like maybe one other person, and like bless their hearts, like they were asking us questions on the panel.
I know. I had never met you before or the other panelists. And same thing. I remember like kind of having this like, you know, excited, nervous energy about going to this panel discussion. And then when we got there, and you know, this just goes to show that this is the way events go. And I feel like I have had so many of those experiences in my career because, you know, it's such a journey and it's such a work in progress, getting people to actually show up to listen yes. to you speak or to watch you or to tune in or whatever. It might sound easy, but it's actually like really hard. But the best thing about that whole night was meeting you, of course.
Yeah, we met. I just remember you being so beautiful. You're just gorgeous. And sitting beside me, and I remember the panelist or whoever was doing the interview asked what our morning routines were. And at that time, I think I was like personal training at like 5 a.m. So I was like, I like wash my face, brush my teeth, like get ready, grab a water and a coffee and out the door. And yours was so beautiful. Like you're of course like your lemon and water and you meditate and then you have your coffee and you have your alone time. Yeah. And then you do like your stretches and like a prayer, whatever. It was like this full in-depth morning routine. I'm like, oh, I want to be Carlene.
Aww.
It was inspiring.
Oh, well, okay. The fact that I'm like 20 years older than you, that's probably why we were at a very different place.
Don't age yourself. Life. You're not 20 years older than me, but okay. you are definitely inspiring. And it's so funny because last week I was having lunch with one of my friends who you don't know, by the way. And she knows that we're good friends. And she was like, I don't know if this was in like the last couple of weeks, but she said she was biking the seawall and she saw you. She's like, I saw Carlene and her husband and her kids. And they were like, I guess you guys were stopped or doing something like biking the seawall. And she's like, I just took a step back and was just watching them because they're so beautiful and perfect. And she's like, I was just amazed at how beautiful and perfect they are, which is funny because aww. I know obviously you're so stunning and your Instagram and social media is like so beautiful and curated. And because we're close friends, I know that your life isn't perfect. I know that you work really hard at like creating this beautiful image, but I know that this isn't how your life has always been, that you weren't always really into healthy eating. And can you tell us a little bit more about where you started off? Like, where did this health journey begin for you? Tell us about when you weren't perfection.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, okay. That first of all, that's crazy because there's no such thing as perfection as we all know. And I, you know what, it's so interesting because it's funny what people can see from the outside. And I always remind people that about, especially social media, remember it's only a snippet of a particular moment in that day. And, you know, it's intended to provide ideas and inspiration of like, especially I think for moms, you know, in particular, trying to figure out how to balance all these different, you know, balls that we have to keep going in our day. And that's one of the things that I really, you know, try to do through my, whether I'm cooking dinner with my kids or I'm sitting in the car trying to do some work and share some inspiration. That's kind of the whole goal behind it. And like anything, healthy eating and becoming your idea of what healthy is definitely a journey. And I think it just depends on what stage of life you're at. And of course, you take a 17-year-old and you take a 47-year-old, their life is going to be completely different. And their idea of what healthy and healthy eating is going to be completely different. And so I was in the exact same place as everybody else when I started to get more interested in nutrition and health. And for me, it came from a place of need. And, you know, that really is probably the best way to break it down. Like when you're at your bottom is when you can start to learn and grow and try to improve. You know, if you don't have any sort of like health challenges or, you know, issues or struggles, why would you put effort into trying to get better at something when you feel like you're bumping along pretty well? You know, and for most people in their 20s, as an example, you know, lacking energy and not being able to sleep and feeling too stressed and pain and inflammation, those are not things that they deal with. But I was not one of those people. In fact, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition when I was in my late teens. And so this had kind of come after a really stressful time in my life. My father passed away of cancer when I was 17 years old. And so, you know, after you go through really stressful periods in your life, oftentimes the body sends you very strong signals and says, okay, you've been holding on to this for way too long. And then you don't feel very well. And that was exactly what happened to me. So I was really, I would say, kind of brought to my knees thinking that, okay, if I feel like this when I'm, say, 20 years old, what am I going to feel like when I'm in my 40s? And so it is what started my journey into really taking care of my food and making changes. I would say I was pretty much a sugaraholic. I had a lot of sugar. I feel growing up, like especially going to university, a lot of refined foods. At the time, fat was considered bad, like fat in the diet. It was like that era of low fat, fat free, you know, no fat, as long as the yogurt container said fat free or the cookies or the crackers, it was like, that was what was okay. But instead I was just eating a ton of carbohydrates and a ton of refined sugar. And being a Saskatchewan girl, I think we drank a lot of Nest tea, iced tea. You remember like the scoopfuls of the powder you mix yes. with water. Yeah. That was like a daily, that was like a daily thing for me. So I was studying nutrition at the same time I was going to university. I was at the U of S and doing my degree in nutrition. And it's funny how you can know about something from an educational standpoint, but not necessarily live that. So I sort of had a meeting of the minds and was like, I need to start putting some of this knowledge into practice. And if I want to actually feel better and have more energy and sleep better at night and just feel my best, then I'm going to have to make some changes in my diet. So that was kind of where it all started. And that was over 20 years ago. So this is not something you just do and then you're done. This is something that you just continue to work at and build on.
And what I love about you is when I think about you, I just think of someone who has so much balance. Like I've gone out with you so many times and we have our like salads with a side of fries and our glasses yeah, of wine.
That is great balance.
I'll always pick the fries for the dessert, girl.
Yeah, that's always what I love about hanging out with you. Like, I know that you're someone that practices what you preach, that you have a really healthy lifestyle, but you're not so rigid where you don't feel that freedom to enjoy and indulge and have that balance. Did you ever struggle with finding that balance? Like, at the beginning, did you do more extreme diets or did you ever experiment with those types of eating habits?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you're right. I mean, it is all about balance. I would say I'm definitely the 80-20 kind of person. I never say no. And I also feel lucky as I haven't really had any kind of like allergies or, you know, real gut issues or something that's made me take a look and say like, okay, I can't have gluten or I can't eat this. Feeling good every day is a priority for me. Honestly, like that is something that I really try. I really want to feel my best. If you know something is a trigger for you, you gotta pull it out. You gotta make a change, and that comes in every facet of our life, not just food. But I think that, you know, overall, from when I was a kid and when I was talking about eating too much sugar to where I am now, I don't really have an addictive personality, or I don't kind of have like an extreme. I am sort of kind of in the middle on almost everything, and so I do believe though that food is enjoyment. And I love food and I love to eat, and it works so well mirroring an Italian who also loves food and loves wine. And, you know, like our entire, as an example of vacation, is pretty much all planned around restaurants and what we're going to eat. And that is just such an enjoyable part of our life. And I love that. And I think that although we strive to be healthy, really what is more important than finding your happiness in being healthy? And so if healthy feels too restrictive, and it doesn't feel like something you can maintain for the next 6 months or a year, then it's probably not the right approach. I mean, there's no point doing something and restricting and doing some of these crazy, really restrictive diets, knowing that there's no way in 6 months you can maintain that. Because all that's going to do is really set you up to fail and set you up to, you know, potentially gain more weight than you lost and yo-yo and have fluctuations in energy and hormone levels. And so I think having a really deep understanding about nutrition and how the body works has helped me sort of overcome this desire and this need to try any kind of yo-yo diets or anything extreme.
So when you say 80-20 and you're going to restaurants, and I'm the same way. When I go somewhere, I'm like, what restaurant can I go to? Where can I hit up? What then are you thinking about when you're, you know, thinking about what you're going to eat and being healthy, especially in a restaurant? I just find restaurant food obviously has so much sodium in it, which it impacts me so greatly. And Marie and I have talked about this the other day, just eating restaurant food, just to me right away, I'm like, it's unhealthy. What perspective or strategy would you say go into the restaurant with this?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we don't eat out in a restaurant every day. So I feel like that's a positive in that when I go, I just go to enjoy. And honestly, if we're going out for Italian honestly, whatever I feel like eating, I sort of listen to my body. I've always been, without even knowing the term, because I feel like this term has become more popular in the last few years, you know, intuitive eating or being mindful about you eat. I think I've just always naturally done that. And I do, I sort of listen to my body. And typically, because I think the healthier you are, the healthier your gut, the healthier your body, your taste buds also drive you. You know, I would rarely choose a cream sauce option with pasta. Honestly, it's just not what I really crave or what I desire. I would probably choose more of like a white wine garlic sauce or a tomato based sauce or something that would maybe naturally have like less fat, less calories in it. But I wouldn't deprive myself if that was what I wanted. So I think deprivation is one of the worst things in life. But there's also that balance of making a choice that you know you're not going to pay for the next day, because that doesn't feel good either. So really listening to your body is huge, and knowing what your triggers are, knowing what makes you feel good, and thinking about, is it worth this tomorrow? That's a big thing for me. Like, you know, that could be with drinking alcohol. That could be with eating dessert. That could be with the timing of your food. Like, I know myself, I cannot eat like 9 p.m. going to a restaurant for me. It would be like, I'm more like on the senior schedule. Like,
our dinner appointments are at 5 p.m. and it's the best thing in the world. We're like home in bed, tucked in at 7:30, and there's nothing better.
Love it. Like, for me, I know that I do not do well. I don't sleep good if I eat too late. I can't digest my food well. My stomach feels off. The next morning, I feel like bloated and so I know that about myself. So I try really hard to not do that, because I don't want to pay for it the next day. I also know my limit on how much red wine can I drink. I already know if I drink that extra glass, I am not going to feel good tomorrow. So, you know, you have to really know your body. And I think through all the different health journeys I've been on, and there's been several kind of peaks and dips, I would say, in my, you know, call it 20 years of finding my best health, knowing yourself is number one. Nobody can do this work for you other than you. So it doesn't matter how many great, you know, doctors or nutritionists or naturopaths or chiropractors, nobody can do it better than you. So if this is a priority for you, and health should be a priority for everybody, because without our health, there's, you know, we can't enjoy our life. And it's about quality of life, and quality of life comes from health. So really learning you, figuring out what makes you feel good, what makes you tick, how is your body working? And I always encourage everybody, no matter what kind of training I'm doing, I always start out, like, depending on what the topic is. So for example, if it's energy, as an example, I always say, do an energy check-in with yourself every single morning. Like, literally physically ask yourself questions like, how did I sleep last night? How am I feeling? Do I feel tired today? Do I feel exhausted? You know, there's varying levels of energy that people have. What did I do yesterday that made me feel like this today? So do a check-in. Same thing with digestion and your gut health. How is your digestion working? You know, are you going to the bathroom regularly? Are you feeling hungry? Are you feeling full all the time? Like, really tune in to how your body's working. And that's going to send you more information than anything else. And so really being intuitive about you and your cues and what makes you tick is probably one of the best ways to then guide your choices in terms of food.
I agree with you. And I think education is power. And there's so much misinformation about nutrition, and also with just advertisements and marketing about dieting. And it's advertised that it should be restrictive, but there's actually so much freedom in eating well and healthy eating. And I love your cookbook. You know, I'm a huge fan of Carlene Carse's cookbook, The Kitchen is for Dancing, because it's full of so many delicious, healthy recipes that it's not diet food. And there's a way to cook and treat your body the way it deserves, and healthy whole foods, and still have amazing, delicious food where it's not as challenging. And so this is how you cook day to day. I think people who follow you on your social media know that that's a huge priority for you, is fueling your family, giving them healthy, delicious food. Okay, let's talk about how realistically that works, because you have three kids, you have like two businesses, at least. I don't know. I'm like lost count. Your husband, you know, he's really busy. Like, typically when it's not COVID, he's traveling all the time. He has a very full schedule. You're driving your kids to sports and activities and their schools. And how do you realistically plan your meals? Like, do you, in the beginning of the week, do you write out what you're cooking for the week and then prep accordingly? How do you make time for it?
Great question.
Well, it sounds scary. Just listening to what you said, I'm like, really?
It is. I think a lot of people ask that question.
Okay, so to back up, thank you. And I appreciate your support of my cookbook. It was like one of the greatest, professional experiences of my life. One of the hardest is writing a book, especially a cookbook. But number two, I had so much personal satisfaction from that because I really felt like it was translating what I had learned over, you know, the last 10. Okay, so my oldest is 14 and a half already. So
crazy.
I feel like, yes, it's crazy. So time goes really, really quickly. And in the beginning, when he was, you know, a baby and a toddler, that was when I had this, because I didn't really cook before. I would think, looking back, it was more like braising and like picking up chicken that was already marinated to barbecue, or, you know, during the day it would be like yogurt, apples, this kind of thing. You know, when kids are little, you can like get away with like steaming vegetables and just cutting it up on a little plate and like little. But then I started to realize, I'm like, gee, I better get it together here, because like, how am I going to feed this family? Like, we can't eat like this forever. This is not going to be sustainable because our schedules are just not going to allow for it. And so I became personally very motivated to learn how to cook. And it was something that is, food is important. I appreciate the value of what food can do for our bodies and our brain and our energy. My husband's a naturopath. I'm a registered dietitian, studying holistic nutrition and supplements my entire career. Obviously, this is an important thing. We live it, we breathe it. And it's a merging of what we know and what we do and what fuels our personal lives. And so they really all kind of come together, which I think we're very lucky for that. But I sometimes have like that imposter syndrome, because I'm not a trained cook. I'm not a chef. I have no formal training in it at all. I just know what I like to eat. And I think I know what tastes good together and what flavors kind of come together. So often through that cookbook experience, I was like, oh, how's anyone going to believe that these recipes are going to work and that they're going to be replicated in people's homes? That was actually probably one of the biggest stresses I had with my cookbook before it came out. Is like, what if none of these recipes work for people? Like, it's one thing if you can do it yourself, it's another thing when somebody else tries to do it. And so I think personally, I was just very motivated to figure out how to cook for my family. And it was something that I knew, like, everybody has their different priorities of what's, you know, important to you and important to your family. Maybe it's family workouts that are more important, which we do not do family workouts. So you can't have everything have the same priority in your day. It's just not possible. So you sort of pick what is important. And I did not want to be feeding my kids in the car in between sports and school. It was just not something that I had wanted to do. So I was like, I need to figure out how I'm going to prepare and deliver healthy food on a limited time schedule during the week so that my goal of feeding ourselves well is possible. So that was sort of how the whole cookbook thing set out. And my kids were really the driving force in that. And it's amazing. You're a mother and soon to be a second mother. Jesse, do you have kids as well?
I do. I have three kids and I can totally relate, because if I was to write a book about what you should know about having children, is that at a certain stage of your life, you are in the car all the time.
Yeah.
You are driving nonstop. And it's always an issue. What do I feed the kids? Where do I go? And I stop for crap all the time. And then I'm upset about it. And I'm thinking, you're not fueled properly to play the sport or to do well at school or to be able to study later. It's always an issue.
It's an issue. And it's like, I think every single mother, whether this is parking lot talk or after church or girls' night out, what do I feed my family? So anyway, this is like became my personal objective, that I am going to figure out how to make this happen. And it doesn't always go smoothly, but I think that experience, honestly, the meal prepping and meal planning thing is huge.
Can you break that down for us? Like Sunday, what happens Sunday to Saturday? I want actual breakdown of like what you do and how you execute such incredible meals. Cause I know you're an amazing cook. I've had your cooking, and I always say to you, I wish you could just like cook for me every single day.
I wish I could too. I would love that. Literally it's a step-by-step thing. And I think when you get more experience, you don't need to be like with your notebook going like, okay, Monday, this, it just becomes more intuitive. But in the beginning, get a pen and paper, use your iPhone notes, literally plan it out. So take 20 minutes on Saturday or Sunday, on your weekend, whatever your weekend is, to write out the days of the week, give yourself two nights off. I think if you're able to, which means go out one night, pick up food one night, delegate to your husband. Maybe you have a mother or a Nona or somebody that would be willing to do one night a week for you. I think five nights a week as a mom is plenty to be the chief cook of the family. So one night a week, my husband takes, and then typically one night a week, we either likely go out or take out. But I actually find takeout to be a lot of work for some reason. I don't know. There's still dishes and everything like that. So Saturday or Sunday, spend 20 minutes, write out the nights that you're cooking and write out what it is you're going to cook. During the week, keep it simple to things you know. Okay. So probably a Tuesday night after you've worked all day and you need to have somebody at sports at 6:30 is not the night to try some new amazing marinade on a chicken that needs to be grilled for 45 minutes and like knock that off your schedule. Do chili, do soup, do a curry, do a pasta, do salmon that you can prepare. Not even kidding you, 15 minutes. Salmon is one of the healthiest, easy weeknight meals to prepare. It's so good for you. It's accessible for most people. I mean, you can buy beautiful salmon everywhere and it's just great. So do something that you know during the week and so that it's simple. Write out your list of what you need and check your inventory. There is nothing more frustrating than on Tuesday night when you're going to prepare your chili and you have no black beans. Like, you're going to literally want to cry because then you have to go to the store again or you have to change gears or it just becomes like frustrating. So I always double check fridge, pantry, because I keep my fridge pretty organized. But remember, this is what I do for a living also. So I just do a quick clean, get rid of expired, see what I need for fresh. I need more herbs, more parsley, more lemons, whatever the case may be. Make your list, head to the store. This works for me because I am a working person Monday to Friday. So I have to do this on the weekends. It's not an option for me Monday morning to go and do this. I have to do it during the weekend. So that's when I go. My preference is to go to the store Sunday morning before church. That's what I like to do and get it out of the way before our day starts and before it gets too busy at the grocery store. But pick your time, whatever works for you. And then you just get what you need. Usually I make one stop midweek for more produce. You know, we run out of whatever, strawberries and apples and all the things I need for the kids' lunches. And then that's kind of how it rolls. And then on the weekend, I usually would try something new, like make Saturday or Sunday a really special night. Maybe you bring enjoyment into it, you know, like Sunday night, you set your table with placemats and you open a bottle of wine for you and your spouse, or you try a new dessert or try something new. And then those new will become more familiar and then you'll be able to incorporate those into your weekly night routine. So I have found that planning ahead, having a well-stocked pantry and fridge to kind of be my greatest, you know, the ways that I kind of prevent any kind of barriers from success of weeknight cooking.
So how does that work? Like, I get how that could work and play in part if you don't have kids who are in sports and you're not driving around, but I know that you are driving around a lot and you have kids in sports. So at what time are you actually cooking? And then at what time are they eating? Are we sitting all together and eating and driving? Like, how does that logistically work?
Yeah, well, it would actually scare you if you heard our logistical schedule, because I think between all three of my kids, there's like 17 different sports activities in a week to drive them to. But I work from home, like a lot of people now do and a lot of moms. And that has been one of the greatest blessings for us, is that I am physically at home. And so when I have some extra time earlier in the day and I can squeeze in a prep of something, I will, or I will know what I'm making and I'm pretty fast at it. So at 4:30, as an example, when we get home, that's when I cook. And then I have a time, like I have to have this done in 45 minutes. Like I have to feed between 5:30 and 6:30 because everybody's back out the door in the evening. So as much as I don't love and glorify schedules to that rigidity level, if you want to make it happen, you got to be on a schedule.
Right.
And it's just the only way.
And is that a family dinner where everybody's sitting down, or are people like grabbing and going? Like, what does it look like?
It depends on the night. Some nights all of us are there and it's for a limited time. Like last night we had 15 minutes. I'm not even kidding. Like literally half eating and run, which is not ideal. It is what it is. What are we going to do? So that's why I cherish like a Sunday or a Saturday night when we have a little bit more time and we don't have to eat at 5:15 and we don't have to have it finished in, you know, 30 minutes. And so you just adjust. And honestly, adaptation is the number one thing that I've learned as a mom. I've had to let go of a lot of type A things that, you know, would typically stress me out. I've had to learn, you know, there's the great line about it's those who adapt that survive and then thrive and find your happiness in it. You know, I think that if we continue to dig our heels because we want what we used to have, or we want a relaxed schedule, or we don't want our lives to be like this, it's not going to feel good, you know? And then your kids feel that energy. And it doesn't mean that you have to be happy and like happy cook and like cheery every single night, but it's like, you will find more enjoyment when you give in, you know, and when you embrace the new stage that you're at.
Obviously you promote eating a healthy lifestyle, eating lots of vegetables, eating whole foods. If you have a healthy diet, do you still recommend people to stick to certain supplements that they have in their regimen every single day? If so, which supplements? I think I already know what you're going to say, but which supplements would you promote?
Yeah, no, I love supplements. They changed my life, literally. That was how I really got into my groove with my health. And, you know, but supplements are, there's a lot of hype and there's a lot of misinformation about supplements and what you need and what you should take or shouldn't take or what brand or not brand. You know, I think it depends on you and your needs. So what works for me doesn't necessarily work for you. But I do think there are certain things that we call foundational nutrients. And, you know, everybody's on a budget and things are even tighter than ever before with, you know, inflation and the economic situation. And so waste not when it comes to supplements. You don't need every single thing. Like, just because I might find value in ubiquinol, if you're not somebody that suffers from like energy crisis, don't take it. It's not needed for you. So I think that there's three things that I would recommend like every woman mom to take. And we can talk about kids after, because I do think supplements can play a role. And remember though, the supplements are meant to supplement an already healthy diet. So they're not meant to be the be all and end all and the magic bullet and, you know, lose 30 pounds from it. That's not the goal. And that's not really the intent. So if you go in with it knowing that, then I think you'll find a lot more success from your supplements. So number one, vitamin D3 is hugely important for every single person from the time you're born until the time you die. And it's very readily available nutrient. It's not expensive. It's something that the majority of Canadians are deficient in because it's our sunshine vitamin. And it's actually a hormone. It's a bit of a misnomer, but it's something our body is supposed to make on its own. But because we don't get enough exposure to sunlight, most people are very deprived from vitamin D3, and it has incredibly important role in the immune system, brain health, you know, prevention against depression and anxiety. There's just a plethora of research on vitamin D3. So little Evie should be taking it. You should be taking it when you breastfeed. You should be giving it to your baby, or when your baby is drinking formula, you should be adding in more vitamin D3. So it's literally important for everybody. So that would be number one. Number two, an omega, obviously. And I'm the omega-3s are my thing. They're my jam. I started to use them for the purpose of pain and inflammation for my autoimmune condition. And it changed my life. And it probably was related to the fact that I had avoided fat in my diet for so long. I was probably like starving my body from good fat. And we need fat for everything, like our brain and our energy and our skin and our cells and our nerves. And like, it has a vital role in every single part of our body. So omega-3 fatty acids are really beneficial. Same thing, babies, adults, it has a role in every kind of stage of our life. So omega-3.
And a side note, Carlene actually started a supplement company called Sealicious, which is right. omega-3. And it's, I still take it. It's delicious because it's a liquid omega-3 that it's like, there's like raspberry lemon flavor and it actually tastes really good.
Thank you.
That's just a little plug.
Yeah, just a little plug. And also so that you know that there's a motivation behind it.
Yeah.
No, but I actually do think omega-3s are.
No, I know. It's very important. It's really important. There's a lot of misinformation of the importance of fats.
And then the third, I personally think all women need magnesium. And yeah, it's just, again, 60% of Canadians are deficient in magnesium. It's a beautiful nutrient and it's involved with over like 300 different reactions in our body. And basically it helps with the nervous system. It helps promote relaxation. So for me, magnesium has really helped with restlessness at night. I have a hard time sleeping. Sleeping has always been a challenge for me. I'm like a monkey mind when I go to bed at night. And so this is something I've been really trying to work on, because the more intense my days get, the harder time I have sleeping at night, which is very debilitating. So magnesium for me has helped improve my body's just ability to relax. That in combination with an Epsom salt bath at night is like really powerful. And think Epsom salts are magnesium. That's what they are. So incorporating more magnesium into the diet is great. About 400 milligrams in the evening, I find to be really beneficial. So that would be my like foundational nutrient list that I think most people could benefit from. You know, I think in addition to that, if you have issues with energy or hormones, want to add in more B vitamins in the morning and an energizing multivitamin. I feel like I go on and off with multivitamins because I eat quite a lot of fruits and vegetables. So I feel like I get a lot of the basic nutrients in my diet. But if I'm going through an extra stressful period, trust me, your body is burning up all those antioxidants and all those plant compounds so quickly. And so women have these things called, well, we all have these adrenal glands, and they are our stress hormone in our body. And so the more stressed you are, the more nutrients your body burns. So you got to really replete it. So that's why the more brightly colored fruits and vegetables and vitamin C and antioxidants that you can bring into your diet, the better your body will be able to cope and the less kind of cellular damage happens in the body. So it just really depends on where you're at in terms of what nutrients, but I think those three things would be a great foundational starting point.
Okay, amazing. I feel like that was all really educational and like very practical. I feel really inspired.
Take your vitamins.
Right now, especially, I mean, I'm usually pretty good with my vitamins and my supplements, and I agree. And I love magnesium, and it's one of the first things I put clients on for sleep and also for digestion. Like you said, it relaxes you. It also relaxes your bowels too. And it helps people stay regular if they're having troubles with that.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us, is there anything that you're working on right now, new projects?
Aw, thank you. Yes, I have been really like working on this really exciting project that's been a passion. It's been 2+ years in the making. And, you know, there's been so many challenges. And, you know, my husband always reminds me, Carlene, if it wasn't challenging, everybody would do this. And that's why, you know, being an entrepreneur is kind of, I always say it's like a blessing and a curse at the same time, because it really is so hard. And just when you're ready to give up, you know, there's a win and you're like, okay, I can keep going and I can keep making this work. So I'm working on a brand called Verily Kitchen, and Verily Kitchen is a plant-rich brand of sauces, dips, dressings, and marinades, all fresh. And I'm going to be rolling this out across Canada within the next, you know, 3 months. So we are currently in a really exciting phase of scaling up all of my recipes from home and increasing, you know, the batch size and making sure that it's stable and the pH is good and that it tastes the same as it did when I'm making it at home in my kitchen. That's a big deal for me. Like when people buy Verily Kitchen sauces, I want to make sure that when they have this experience, it feels like it was, you know, made fresh at home. And so it's really exciting. It's been a labor of love for sure. And, you know, it was like really inspired by my cookbook and how many people are like, oh, it's, you know, an easy recipe, but I still wish I could just buy your pesto just already done. It's like so delicious. And it was like, ding, ding. I'm like, maybe there's a way, you know, to turn some of these recipes into a packaged product that people could actually buy. So that's what I've been working on. It's exciting. And every time I feel like maybe this is too hard, maybe this project is way bigger than me now, and I think I'm in way over my head, to be very truthful. So I let it sit a little bit, and that passion, that desire, and that yearning is still there. And so that's how I know I'm like meant to push forward with this. And, you know, I just will do my best to provide like a delicious, high quality, fresh product and hope that, you know, people across Canada love it and want to treat themselves to it and feed it to their families and help take some of the pressure off that weeknight meal prep.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that you're putting in the work so we can enjoy
the
results. Well, thank you so much, Carlene, for coming on to the Tell Me More podcast. I just love you so much. And it's always so fun talking to you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something new and helpful.
We'll see you next Thursday. And in the meantime, be sure to rate, review, and follow along on your favorite podcast app.
And tell us more about what you want to hear on the podcast by sending a DM to our Instagram @TMMAboutPodcast.
Chat soon.